Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. That's also a great place to go, by the way, if you want to find some old archive shows as well. They are instantly available. Well, almost instantly available. It's almost like going to Kinko's, getting instant prints or something, right? Right after the show at theadvertisingshow.com. Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. By the way, the website's also a great place to stay in touch with us. Theadvertisingshow.com is how we get your questions. And if you have one or a comment, please make it nice. And please don't send us any more spam, okay?
All right.
No more spam. Thank you. So, we're back. It's a brand new year rolling here. We've got the weekend on the... Well, it actually is the weekend here. Bruce Bettinger is our special guest today. Bruce is one of Chicago's creative superstars. You might know, Bruce, the Copy Workshop book is one of the books we're going to be talking about today. Right, Brad?
Mm-hmm. I wonder who wrote that creative superstar line. Bruce himself?
Probably so. Either he or his daughter, Jessica.
That's true.
It's possible.
You know, I guess Britney Spears did her 50-hour marriage stint last weekend.
Yes, she did.
You know?
Matter of fact, Andy Borowitz has a little special report
coming
about her.
Coming up next hour.
That's true.
Oh, well, goodness.
Nice
tease. It's a great reason to stick around. You know, they say that, well, that was a funny thing about Britney. I think, who was it? Hilton.
Paris Hilton. Yeah,
she's
been all over email.
She sent Brittany an email and said, Brittany, marriage for 50 hours will not get you nearly as much attention as a porno film on the
exactly
internet.
Right.
She said,
right.
If you're really looking for some attention, go that way.
Yeah, well, look at that.
Yeah.
And
no, you look at that.
No, I didn't, and I won't. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
So Bruce is on the way. We've got, Mary Lou. Quinlan, Mary Lou is up this segment, as a matter of fact. She's got the F word, part two. And if you're listening last week, you heard part one,
right.
So it's obvious we'll play part two this
week. F word, and it's not what you're thinking.
No. But if you were,
well,
shame
you
on
could
you.
Be thinking that.
Patrick Meyer's on the way. Reimaging is his topic this weekend on the Advertising Show. Andy Borowitz, and it's actually, well, I'll give you a sneak peek. She got bar mitzvahed.
Who?
She did.
Who?
Brittany.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. So that's what Andy's talking about.
In the back seat of a Lincoln Continental?
No, bar mitzvah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, she had to go to a
synagogue
for that,
yeah. Okay? Hey, you know, celebrity prank show, Punk'd. You remember that?
Yeah.
It's maybe history, of course, at this point, but MTV is getting ready to unleash a new hidden camera show.
What is that?
Well, it's called Boiling Points. Debuted earlier this week, Ray.
Yeah.
It will test regular folks to stressful situations like an extra long wait in grocery lines, an overly attentive sales girl helping a guy pick out a pair of jeans while his girlfriend stands by.
Okay.
And if the unsuspecting subject does not lose their cool, they receive $100.
Okay.
Now, this half-hour program, debuted earlier this week, airs 4:30 Eastern time. Mm-hmm. That's in the afternoon, 3:30 Central, which is exactly why you and I didn't catch it.
That's right.
But, you know.
Full-time jobs.
Did you like Punk? Did you ever see that show?
No, I never liked it.
It's kind of a
stupid show.
Kind of a Gen Y.
Very much so.
Gen
yeah.
Y hidden camera, mm-hmm. candid camera without the funk.
Yeah, and candid camera, when you go back to it, that really is the very first reality show. Think about it.
I would agree with that.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
And then they tried to bring that back, and it flopped. Alan Funt's son. I was a host of that show.
Well, and, you know, part of that, I thought, was, you know, the lady with the Thigh Master, his co-host.
Oh, yeah, right.
What's her name from Three's Company?
I don't remember her name.
Isn't it? So we forget these
names.
Well,
we're old, Brad, okay?
Is that what it is?
This is something that you finally come to realize.
She doesn't have a very strong brand.
What's her name? Summers. Suzanne Summers.
There you go.
There we go.
It's because we're in the dead of winter.
You could only remember her thighs, right, Brad? Something like
well,
that.
Well, I tended to look no further down than her waist.
Mary Lou Quinlan on the way in the Advertising Show.
And now, stay tuned for What Women Want. Insights from listening to your most powerful customer. Here's Mary Lou Quinlan.
Ever wonder what's going through women's minds when they come to your focus groups? I don't mean what's written down in the focus group reports that are gathering dust on your shelves. I mean the real deal, what they're really thinking in that room. First of all, out in the waiting room, they're checking each other out. Oh, her again. Or, Why am I in this group? Everybody here is fat. Do I have a weight issue? The scene is familiar to the women since many are focus group veterans. Same old, same old. Once back in the room, the moderator starts off with a really exciting question like, what do you think of putting calcium in peanut butter? The first woman to talk is the woman who will never stop talking because she's an expert on everything. Well, my uncle is the chief of osteo matters at the university hospital, and I know how important calcium is, blah, blah, blah. And the woman across the table from her is thinking, I am gonna take out this takeover queen the first chance I get. And so it goes, the women plowing through the literal questions, looking in the two-way mirror and thinking they ought to get a haircut, and checking their watches, wondering if the dry cleaner will still be open when this is over. How can you unlock the focus group lockdown? Throw away the questionnaire. You know what you want to ask, don't you? Open up the floor and let them talk. Let the women interrupt the moderator. Let them get carried away laughing. Let them diverge every once in a while. Ironically, it shows they're really thinking about your subject. The power isn't behind the mirror with you. It's in the women right before your eyes.
This has been What Women Want from The Advertising Show with your host, Mary Lou Quinlan, CEO of Just Ask a Woman. To learn more about what women want, visit justaskawoman.com.
This is Mary Lou Quinlan reminding you, if you want to know what women want, stop selling and start listening.
Always some good advice from Mary Lou Quinlan here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. On the way, Bruce Bettinger, author of the Copy Workshop Workbook, the Bible for those who want to learn advertising copywriting. It is the number one textbook at universities and design schools. And you have a copy right there.
Well, in addition to that, we're going to talk about the Book of Gossage, which is Howard Gossage, a legend in the advertising business, which was my first entry point in talking with Bruce. And then we came to learn about the other book you just mentioned, the Advertising the Business of Brands. And he's got some good stuff. It should be a good interview.
Very good. We'll have him on in just a few moments. We've got the Wacky World of Marketing on the way, too. iPod. You know, you like the iPod. Everybody likes
sure.
the iPod spots.
Yeah.
24-Hour Fitness, which is a national chain. They copied it. They copied it. I can't believe this.
Copied the spot.
They copied the concept
no
with the opaque. It's like, what are you guys doing? You know, I'm sure some hotshot at 24 Hours said,
nice
well,
spot.
I really like that. I want our spot to look a lot like that spot. And the agency said, okay, we'll do that.
Yeah.
And threw some money at them, and now they have a copy of the iPod spot.
I think that's a rip-off Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, you know.
That agency, that was Minneapolis, right?
You know, I'm just saying, you know, it's ridiculous that great ideas are copied because nobody has any creativity to come up with their own idea.
Yeah. Or I'm sure it was client-driven. You know,
we
want to be just like the iPod spot, so they came up with something stupid.
So an ad agency doesn't have the personal fortitude to say, hey, let's do something original.
The cashews?
As opposed to, were we still your agency? We'll be happy to rip that spot off.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
On the way, Bruce Bettinger and Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
We are the men of Texaco. We wear the Texaco star. We like to think at Texaco, we've got everything for your car. We've got wipers for your windshield, belts and plugs and tires too.
You're on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings, along with Brad Forsyth, and our special guest today is author Bruce Bettinger out of Chicago. Bruce is one of Chicago's creative superstars, an award-winning copywriter in his early 20s. At 27, he became the youngest VP creative director at the history of the Leo Burnett ad agency. Since then, he's been a creative consultant, doing everything from being creative director for a president of the United States, I believe that was Lincoln, and to helping Apple Computer with strategy systems, to producing one of the most successful jingles jingles and advertising for Popeye's Chicken with Dr. John. We, by the way, have that jingle here, too, by the way.
We do.
So, anyway, Bruce, welcome to the Advertising Show, and thanks for starting out the year with us.
Hey, Ray. Hey, Brad.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Wanted to, Bruce, jump in, and let's get these shameless plugs out of the way early. Ray mentioned in reading your bio that you head up the Copy Workshop. I'm sure many of our audience are wondering, what in the world is the Copy Workshop? So talk a little bit about what the workshop does and who it serves.
Well, basically, guys, we've got a publishing company that focuses on ad education, which will be ad programs at major universities and design schools, and then a few products that are used in the industry by agencies that have their own training programs. One of our books, Hitting the Sweet Spot, gets sold by the case to Procter & Gamble every year, Kraft General Foods, the Consumer Insight book. So basically, we try to have reader-friendly books on marketing advertising that reflect current best practices.
So you both publish and distribute and retail, I guess.
Yeah, we'll publish them. We mostly sell direct, or you can get us through Amazon.com, and most of our books are available at a college bookstore near you. So it's a different kind of distribution channel than the straight Barnes & Noble sort of thing. You've got to either go to our website, adbuzz.com, or be an ad professor or somebody involved in that to find our books. You won't find us lying around in the neighborhood Walden books.
Well, my point of, as I mentioned last segment, my point of entry in learning about you and your organization was an article I read in a publication, one of our trade publications that served the ad industry.
The other advertising magazine.
That's right, the other advertising magazine, not our fine sponsor, Advertising Age, but the other one. And it mentioned Alex, it showed Alex Bogusky quoted, who is, of course, executive creative director at Crispin Porter Bogusky out of Miami. Howard Gossage was one of the books that he recommended as his all-time favorite advertising book. It mentioned also that he made sure that several years ago when he came across this that his entire creative department received a copy of the book of Gossage. So we know you at least sold 20 or 30 copies there, I suppose.
Every once in a while we get a call like that. Rick Boyko at Ogilvy gave it as a Christmas present a couple years ago. Bogusky at Crispin Porter, and then Stan Freeberg called for a few new copies the other day.
Well, you know, with Rick Boyko now heading up a university at the ed department, I would think that he's ready to order a lot more.
Well, VCU, Virginia Commonwealth, the program that Rick heads up,
right,
has for years, that's probably the only graduate program that uses the book regularly, though we just got an order actually from Harvard. Go figure.
Really?
Yeah, I just did a seminar with some other people, and there was a Harvard prof there, and I think that in a moment of desperation and bad judgment, he added that book to his reading list. So.
Well, you know, for those that may not be familiar with Howard Gossage, give us some perspective. I know, you know, we have his book here, and we're familiar from reading the book, but
yeah,
for our audience's purposes, give us some perspective historically. Who was Howard Gossage?
Yeah, if you're a younger guy in the business, you're going to know about him derivatively. Howard Gossage had his moments in the 60s. He had an agency in San Francisco and was based in a firehouse, and he did some very, very interesting advertising. I'm going to jump ahead to the current world. Jeff Goodby was one of the moving forces in getting this book together. He and I had a mutual friend, George Burroughs of Burroughs Media Works, and we were sitting there having a glass of wine in San Francisco. And when the Goodby, Silverstein, and Andy Berlin was with them then, agency forum, they had Howard as kind of their patron saint. Just the way Marshall McLuhan's the patron saint of Wired Magazine, Howard Gossage was the patron saint of the Goodby agency. And indeed, if you win the Best Copywriter in San Francisco Award, you win the Howard Gossage Award.
Hmm.
A real interesting character. Howard did a couple things that were pretty high impact in the advertising business. One, he changed radio advertising. Howard just really got what each medium was all about. And when he had a radio assignment, he called a guy named Stan Freeberg. And again, for the younger people in the audience, Stan Freeberg was this radio humorist that had hit records. Stan Freeberg had top 10 records back in the old days. And he got Stan Freeberg to do his first radio commercials. And they were for Contadina, Eight Great Tomatoes, and Little Bitty Can. And they just really changed the nature of radio advertising. And this is a guy who just understood media. He had a shirt company, Eagle Shirts, and he did interactive advertising 30 years ago. He did it with coupons and offers and the like, and his ads set records for coupon response, a response in the New Yorker magazine. He got involved in major, he had a deep social conscience. He felt that advertising had a lot of responsibility. He felt that the commission system was sowing the seeds of destruction in the advertising business, and we can talk about that maybe at a later point. He got involved in pro bono. Howard Gossage is directly responsible for Earth Day and the group Friends of the Earth. And the modern environmental movement is a direct result of Howard Gossage getting involved with the Sierra Club in San Francisco and their director at the time, a guy named David Brower.
Yeah, he had he brought some social consciousness to the world of advertising. And you mentioned pro bono, and just for the record, Ray, that is not Sonny's cousin. That's some work that he must have done. Anyway, he also hung out with some very famous people that I'm sure much of our audience would be familiar with.
San Francisco Firehouse was like the salon of San Francisco. So Marshall McLuhan was introduced to the world there. Tom Wolfe had come there. Stan Freeberg, Buckminster Fuller, Norman Vincent Peale, Mort Saul, Joan Rivers. I'm dropping names of people you'd sort of recognize. Now, John Steinbeck. John Steinbeck hung with Howard Gossage at his firehouse after Travels with Charlie. One of Gossage's accounts was Rover Motor Cars, and the correspondence began with Gossage asking Steinbeck if he'd do some ads for Rover Motor Cars because he drove a Rover. And it just evolved into being a great friendship, first by correspondence, which was sort of how it worked with Howard, and then they became great friends, and Steinbeck came to San Francisco, and they hung out. And, you know, Howard would pull lunch together with John Steinbeck and Stan Freeberg and Herb Kane, the columnist of the San Francisco Chronicle, and a bunch of other people. And he was kind of a focal and philosophical center of San Francisco at the time. One of his nicknames, given by Warren Hinkle, the editor of Ramparts magazine, was the Socrates of San Francisco. Ramparts magazine was another thing that Howard Gossage played a real role in having. This was a counterculture magazine in the 60s. This was during Vietnam protests and the like. So he was a major force in social change and media evolution in the 60s.
Well, after the break, I want to talk a little bit about that firehouse, because he really was a forerunner in having a unique environment for an ad agency back in the 50s when he bought that, and we'll do that after the break.
That would be a good thing.
Yeah.
We'll wait for that. Bruce Benninger is our special guest here on The Advertising Show. Ray Schillen's along with Brad Forsyth. And we've got the Wacky World of Marketing. That's coming up next with Bruce Abbott. And what else do we have this hour? Don't go away, Bruce, okay? Hang in there. On The Advertising Show, we'll be right back.
World of Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update heads to Berlin, where Reuters reports Germany has only a small amount of its own natural oil reserves, but an enterprising power plant believes it has found an alternative source of energy with a bright future in an aging nation. Used incontinence pads. It's an environmentally friendly source of energy, a spokesperson says. The pollution emissions with used pads are far lower than with oil or coal. In fact, the pads are reported nearly as efficient a source of energy as lignite, a softer coal with higher water content. On top of that, it's much better for the environment to turn the waste into energy by incinerating it rather than leaving the pads to rot. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and, unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Ah, those Speedy Alka-Seltzer bubbles burst into action to relieve your upset stomach.
Certainly a great icon for the Alka-Seltzer industry and for those of you who are still celebrating after the New Year's holiday and who may be in need of one of those. The Alka-Seltzer spot, a classic spot on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsyth. Our special guest today is Bruce Benninger.
You know, for the last, 20 years or so, we've heard about ad agencies developing unique office environments to help further the creative development and the kind of collective environment that is required to put out great advertising. I got to believe that Howard Gossage, continuing the conversation here with Bruce about Howard Gossage, is certainly an icon in the business, but many of our audience may not be familiar with. Howard was one of the original people in the ad business that found a way to house his staff in a unique facility such as that firehouse, as you mentioned last segment, ended up purchasing that from the city of San Francisco back in the late 50s.
What a great idea.
It was a great idea. Bruce, talk a little bit about some of the things that went on in that firehouse and how he went about creating that environment that he's so well known for.
Well, yeah, and the agency never had more than about a dozen people in it. He had people who were like assistant secretaries that went on to other things. Jay Levinson, the guy who writes the guerrilla marketing book,
right.
His first job out of the Army was being Howard's secretary. And things that happened were like Marshall McLuhan, the media guru, was introduced to the world in Howard's firehouse. Tom Wolfe flew in from New York, and a number of other San Francisco people were involved in this thing. And it was also just a place to have a great party. Herb Cain, who was the columnist of columnists for the San Francisco papers, he hung with Howard a lot, so that, you know, it was the place to be. And then the kinds of political and social things that Howard was involved in. I mean, here was a guy whose writings were featured in the Atlantic magazine, the Harper's, that when a lot of us ad guys write things, I mean, we're lucky if we get a little piece in Advertising Age or the other ad magazine. And here's Howard writing stuff that's shown up in Harper's, that's getting featured in New York Magazine, The Atlantic. He really kind of moved in some very, very interesting circles. And he did it with his own kind of creative angle on things. And a lot of times all he'd do was kind of write a letter, and he'd connect with somebody, and then suddenly he's having lunch with John Steinbeck.
Mm-hmm.
I write another letter, and Tom Wolfe was flying out to do a story. He was a very, very interesting guy, and he really knew how to connect with the media. He'd do things like the Scientific American airplane contest. I mean, they wrote two ads, and the media that was generated from these two ads and the contest itself was huge. You couldn't buy that. I mean, they spent maybe $150,000 in media and generated millions in PR and actually published a book. I mean, you can still buy the book on Amazon and in some bookstores, the Scientific American Paper Airplane book.
Hmm.
His ads and responses to his ads were turned into books. So he just really kind of had a real understanding of how to make the whole media matrix work in a much better way. Most people in advertising, they pay for every single inch of mention they get. Howard didn't have to do that. He'd run one ad, and that ad would generate, or as he said, propagate a lot of extra impact just because of the nature of how he put those things together.
You know, it's interesting you say that. A former guest, George Lois, had mentioned during the interview with him a few months ago that a lot of the advertising he created for his clients would end up creating extra public relations or PR publicity. For example, I recall, Ray, him mentioning the MTV campaign 6 months later after he launched the I Want My MTV campaign. It was on the front cover of Time magazine. I think the days of being able to create advertising that actually gets talked about on the old days, Johnny Carson, or ends up on the front page of a major news magazine, or, you know, far and few between, if gone forever, don't you think, Bruce?
I think they were always far and few between, and people with instincts, and George Lois is absolutely flat out, you know, on the East Coast was probably the premier guy doing exactly the same thing. And again, George was very connected and wired to the media. If you look at the stuff he does ads, and then suddenly he's doing the cover of Esquire magazine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he's publishing books, and he's publishing books with very good relationships with the publishing industry. He knew how, in his work with restaurants, I mean, he knew how to get mentions in the New York magazines. And his pro bono stuff, like the hurricane. You know, it really wasn't much dealt with in the movie, but Reuben Hurricane Carter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. George Lois was hugely, was a major mover and shaker in making that thing happen.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was also deeply involved in a number of very successful political campaigns.
Right, I knew that.
On the East Coast.
Robert Kennedy's campaign, for example. Yeah, and you know, I want to go back. You're right, and I guess he was the East Coast version of Howard. I want to go back to the book on Howard Gossage.
Yeah.
You wrote a chapter. It's a unique compendium of the way you have this book formatted. Apparently, there's the book that Howard wrote is within the heart of this larger version, where there are chapters on both sides by people like yourself and others that have written about Howard Luck Gossage. And you wrote a chapter, Citizen Gossage. I'm going to hold it till after the break. I want to get your take on how you got interested in Howard and what you wrote about in this book, and we'll do that after the break.
Back in just a minute on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings, along with Brad Forsyth and our special guest, Bruce Bettinger.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
No matter what shape your stomach's in.
It's The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, and a classic song that really branded a product, no matter what shape your stomach is in. That would be
Alka-Seltzer
too. Yeah. So you got Speedy, and then you got the other one going there, too.
You can see the jackhammer, kind of can't you?
But you know the real thing that – do I get to interrupt before
Yes, you can.
Well,
I can do that.
I guess you can.
Yeah. The real thing that Mary Wells did with at Jack Tinker for Alka-Seltzer, there's all these great spots. But what really happened is Mary went out to Elkhart, Indiana, and she looked at these guys and said, hey, if you had two, would it hurt you? And up till then, the dosage for Alka-Seltzer was
one
plop.
Yeah.
And by going to plop, you doubled the dosage, so that even though from then on the incidence of use of Alka-Seltzer went down, the number of Alka-Seltzers per use went up, and that was the main thing that made the brand, that kept the brand.
What a great way.
I'm
surprised they didn't tell it to dump it down your toilet and clean your septic tank with it as well. They would have sold more that way.
Huh? You know, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Bruce Bettinger, who's author and publisher of the Copy Workshop out of Chicago, and also we're talking about Howard Gossage. And if you're not familiar with Howard Gossage, you really need to pick up this book, and you can check it all out at adbuzz.com. But I wanted to ask you, Bruce, how did you come to get interested in doing a book on Howard Gossage?
A quick backstory on the book of Gossage. Okay, there was a few thousand copies printed up by University of Illinois Press of the collected works of Howard Gossage called, I think, Is There Any Hope for Advertising? And I know two copies were sold, one to me and one to Jeff Goodby. And we were sitting there having a drink of wine at his offices in San Francisco.
You drink a lot of wine with him, don't you?
Well, we just did it once. I just tell the story over and over
again. Oh, I got you. Same bottle. Same bottle, okay.
Yeah, same bottle.
I got you.
And, you know, Silverstein's peeking in, wanting to get some work done, and we're talking. And it was like one of these, we're going to put a show together. And so Jeff said he'd get involved. Rich did some of the design, Silverstein, and he wrote a really interesting intro, because nobody was going to get interested in Howard Gossage on a bunch of stuff done 30 years ago. But if contemporary people of some import like Jeff and Rich get involved, suddenly the industry is going to take another look. So Jeff wrote an intro. Stan Freeberg contributed a piece. Tom Wolfe sent me some stuff. I got permission from the Steinbeck estate to add some things. And then CA Magazine, another fine other magazine, contributed some stuff that Howard had written that didn't appear in the first book. And so it was like an Oreo cookie. The Cream Filling was the earliest book, and then U of I Press gave me reprint rights. That was very generous on their part. And then the Crunchy opening was done by Jeff and Rich and some people. And then the Crunchy other side of the cookie was stuff from CA Magazine and some other contributions made by other people who very much wanted Howard's legacy to live on again. And we sort of did that. Howard, for a variety of reasons, had pretty much gone off the industry's radar screen about 30 years ago. He passed away and some other things happened. And then with this book and some promotions, Andy Berlin wrote a great review of the book. Wired Magazine featured it. It was featured in the Village Voice. And we brought Howard back. And Advertising Age did a nice piece in Creativity Magazine. And when Ad Age did the 100 Most Important Advertising People...
Howard was there.
Howard was back on the list in the high 20s.
Yeah, and as the original title, Is There Any Hope for Advertising? For
those? Yeah,
that's what Howard
Well, actually, the original title was something in German, Jürg der Werbung thing, because it was originally published in German. Howard was a pretty interesting guy, and there was some people, Barrows Musi and his wife Dagmar, who were involved in Advertising Age in Europe. And their book was originally published in German, and then the English version was done by University of Illinois Press. It's a pretty strange deal.
We have less than a minute left, and we're going to hold you till next hour and talk more about all of this. But if you could leave our listeners with one thought about Howard Gossage other than go out and buy the book, what would it be?
No, that's the book. That's the thought. Go to www.adbuzz.com, and it's 20% off, and I think we got a couple hundred copies left. And we're probably going to have to reprint the darn thing.
Well, that's your second shameless plug of the hour. And also,
this is outside the commercial stop set, too. We're in deep trouble
that's
now.
That's correct. And for the record, by the way, today in the 21st century, you can drop the three W's. I think people already know that.
AdBuzz.com.
There you go.
And there you go.
Okay. Thanks, Bruce.
Back in just a minute on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe. Back with Goodvertising and more with Bruce next hour, too. So stick around.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp and listen, mister. How are you fixed for blades? Do you have blades? How are you fixed for blades? You better check.
You're on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe in a classic spot. Getting you looking good, too, as well as feeling good with a Gillette commercial. Bruce Bettinger will be back with us next hour, and we'll talk more about that great book. And, you know, that's funny because we have – no, actually, I think I have one here at the office, and I think we also gave one as a gift one year, the copy workshop workbook.
Really?
It was recommended at a voiceover seminar that we went to several years ago, so not online or anything like that.
Well, you know, if I were to mention to you Viagra, lowest mortgage rates, hot XXX action, and as seen on Oprah, what would you – are you –
say Brad's email.
Yeah, right. Well, AOL released their top 10 spam list. Those were the top four I mentioned.
I'm sure they were.
And the last six topped by the list of the most commonly used subject lines for junk mail in 2003.
Yeah.
Online pharmacy. Mm-hmm. Your favorite, get bigger. online degree.
Yeah.
Lowest insurance rates, work from home, and finally rounding out the top 10, get out of debt.
Right. Did you ever get one of those things in the mail from, this is before internet spam.
Oh, not email, but USPS.
Regular mail where you get like a magazine article ripped out of a page and it has a post-it note.
Little handwritten.
Brad.
Read this or, call me.
We got one of those yesterday and Bruce, what Bruce did?
Was it?
It had a return address on it.
He mailed it back to him.
Yeah, he said,
"You call me,
Doug. You'll find this very interesting." Yeah. B, and yeah, sent it back to the guy.
Yeah, they always do the initials, don't they? They don't do the whole name.
Of course
they do. Yeah.
What? Come on now.
That's very tricky.
How many times are you going to get tricked?
Yeah.
Good advertising and bad advertising is what we do every week. Look at the good and the bad side of the advertising, and it's just not to slam anybody, but it's just to help you do a little bit better job about the advertising that you create and execute. So this week, it's not so bad. It's very good.
And now it's time for the Advertising Show's Advertising Showcase, an outstanding example of on-target advertising for the good stuff. Here's Ray and Brad.
All right, what you got this weekend?
Well, we had Donnie Deutsch on, 3 months ago?
And
his agency, Deutsch New York, created a great campaign. I'm going to hold the title of the sponsor, or the client rather, until the end of the spot, but I want to describe it first because I think it flies better that way. The spot opens with a nice, simple accordion music track with a female character doing a little voiceover asks the question, "Will today be the day that starts the rest of the days?" And you're thinking, well, what in the world is that? Yeah, and then a male character follows that with, "The day you do 50 sit-ups before you walk out the door." Now, interspliced with this opening voiceovers, you have quick cuts of people starting their day in various settings, both in home and commuting to work, and the music begins to pick up a little bit, and the character, third character asks, "Will this be the day you don't put on a suit?" And I'm thinking, well, for you and me, mm-hmm, that's every day, right?
Probably so, yeah.
The spot continues as it asks, "Will today be the day you call your mother and tell her the good news?" As the spot continues, but yet we're coming towards the end, it says, "Or will it be the day they say you're hired?" Mm-hmm. So the spot ends with the Monster logo. We're talking about Monster at this point, Monster.com. The spot ends with the Monster logo and the tagline, "Today is the day." And surprisingly, a 1-888 Monster phone number, mm-hmm, no mention of .com. No, it just has the Monster logo and the tagline. What this spot, Ray, has successfully accomplished, in my opinion, is that it's really captured the emotional connection between their target, of course, that being people that are going into looking for a new job, and the heightened expectations that we all have, I guess. It's been a while since I've worked for anyone, but as I recall, the heightened expectations, I like to use that word, heightened expectations,
right,
that we all have when we start a new job.
Mm-hmm.
So they have effectively established that connection emotionally, I think, and they've also done a good job with introducing a new tagline, "Today is the day," and it does this all in a very engaging and entertaining way. So interesting that it does not offer any introduction to the name until the end of the spot, which is always a clever way of engaging the viewer. So Deutsch, great spot for Monster. Notice I didn't say .com.
And your name doesn't have to be Donnie to come up with something good like that.
Probably Donnie had little to do with it, but we have Executive Creative Director Kathy Delaney, which he always plugged when he was being interviewed on our show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have something going on the side.
I hope not.
I'm starting that rumor.
Yeah. Well, why not?
I just did.
Brand new year, start the rumor.
Yeah.
Next hour, we've got Patrick Meyer on re-imaging. So that could be, it's kind of like rebranding, but I guess re-imaging.
Buying a new suit.
Andy Borowitz is on the way, Andy. And it's a flash about Britney Spears.
Hmm.
I mean, if we need to know anything more about Britney, just ask Andy, okay?
Should you use the word flash and Britney Spears in the same sentence?
Possibly could.
But are we thinking the same way?
You are.
Yeah.
There you go.
True.
Bruce Bettinger on the way. We're talking to Bruce out of Chicago this weekend, and we will be back with him next hour as well on the Advertising Show. Ray Shellens and Brad Forsyth with you, and I want to remind you once again about the website, theadvertisingshow.com. Not only do you find the past guests that we've had on the show archived there, but you'll find this show just moments after it's done next hour up for archive, and if you'd like to grab a copy, you're more than welcome to do that at theadvertisingshow.com. Also have the opportunity to send us questions, and we answer your questions, too, at theadvertisingshow.com. It's so convenient, especially if you have DSL or something like that, right? The Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. Stick around. There's 60 more minutes to come.
Welcome to the Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe.
Back with you for Hour 2 in the Advertising Show is Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe. The Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production, and this hour, if you stick around, and we know you will, we've got Patrick Meyer coming up momentarily. It's a piece on re-imaging. Andy Borowitz is here with a flash from Brittany. And I'll say it again, flash from Brittany. Okay. We got the wacky world of marketing as well, and our special guest, Bruce Bettinger. Bruce is one of Chicago's creative superstars, and you're with us last hour. You heard us talk a little bit about the book, and we'll talk more about that. What are we going to talk to Bruce about this hour?
Well, we're just going to talk about the ad agency business in general and kind of get his take on that, because he has a unique perspective, being one of the superstars in Chicago.
One of Chicago's creative superstars.
See, that's
right there in italicized print in quotes.
Who was that we had on the show a few weeks back? It was that had that real long three-page bio that we told her she had had the record for the longest bio. It was Thayer.
Okay, yeah.
The lady you love to pronounce her
Thayer,
name.
Yeah. Thaler.
Thaler. That's it. Thaler.
There we go. Okay. Hey, did you see the new GM promotion on television? Did you see that?
Have not seen it.
This is cool. I mean, I think this is a really, really cool promotion. They've got a 1,000-car giveaway, okay? Started brand new on, the 1st.
How many can you drive?
As many as you want, one at a time. General Motors said it will give away 1,000 of its 2004 models in what it calls the biggest auto promotion ever, backed by a $50 million 56-day hot-button blitz. The consumers will be told they can go to a dealer of any GM brand in a designated model and push the car's OnStar button. Isn't that wonderful?
Hmm.
They want you to push something, get connected with that as well, to find out instantly if they've won.
Hmm.
Okay, so what you're going to get is a lot of traffic, right? Not everybody's going to buy a car, but that's, after all, up to the salespeople to close the sale.
Well, it engages them with the OnStar and gets them a little, product.
And lets them touch it.
Product engagement. Right now we hear a lot of predictions about what's going to happen this year.
Mm-hmm.
And for the next several weeks, I've downloaded some quotes here. I thought it might be interesting to read a few, and then we'll just kind of intersperse them throughout the show, and then next week we'll do that again.
Will we?
Well, you will. I won't. Okay. No, I will. The horse is here to stay. The automobile is only a fad. That was advice to Horace Rackman, lawyer of Henry Ford, back in 1903. And he ignored the advice and invested $5,000 in Ford stock, selling it later for $12.5 million.
Yeah, it's a bit of an appreciation.
So that's a perspective. And then one other one here. I've got like 50 of them. Television will always be important, but smart companies are finding more and more innovative ways of reaching their audience. That was Ted Smith, vice president of Heinz, in May 1994.
Really?
10 years ago.
Wow.
So a little ahead of his time.
Yeah.
Because that's certainly what a lot of people are talking about today.
Shoot, yeah, absolutely. Stay with us. Bruce is on the way right now. It's Patrick Meyer on the Advertising Show.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
When I was a little boy, I used to watch a show called Soupy Sales. And one day, he asked kids all across the New York area to go to mommy's pocketbook and take out money and put it in the mail and send it to him. And lo and behold, thousands of dollars came into Soupy Sales, and he got in trouble. Well, I'm going to do something like that today. I'm going to tell you to go out and buy a book that will make you scream with delight. Now, this won't make everybody scream. If you're an average conservative marketer or ad person, don't go near this book. It's called Reimagining by Tom Peters. Let me give you an example of how he thinks. He says, if you don't like change, then you're going to like irrelevance even less. He also goes on to say, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. In other words, hard-hitting, aggressive, focused activity. He tells you how to break the rules and where it's all going. About 6 months ago, I was invited up to Tom's home in Vermont. He had assembled what he considered the best and the brightest for a 2-day session to crack it wide open. In my usual style, I threw a series of hand grenades out onto the table. The reality of marketing, marketing as a stepchild, Madison Avenue probably being obsolete, the frustration of marketers looking for new tools, the whole area of branding, etc. Well, as we all did this over 2 days, God bless Tom, he took his thinking, combined it with fresh thinking from all of us, distilled it down into this book called Reimagining. I'm sending it out to all my CEO and CMO friends to wake them up. You may want to pick this book up yourself. It's thought-provoking, innovative, challenging, and I think you'll scream as you read through sections of it.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer, and remember, the marketing revolution has begun.
It's The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, and a little bit of a plug for a book.
Well,
there,
I was going to say,
which is nice.
Yeah, he's going to. I think he's
starting.
Welcome
to the publishing show.
I think we're going to start our Oprah's Ray and Brad's book club of the week.
I think that's a fine idea.
Yeah,
not a problem. Bruce Bettinger on the way here in just a few minutes. We'll say it again. Okay, one of Chicago's creative superstars. Why do we say that? Because it's at the top of the page.
Well, he gets around that by saying one of the.
Yeah. Right. It doesn't say who the other ones are.
Well,
we don't want to talk about
that. It's a short list.
Okay. Bruce will be with us here in just a minute.
Hey, you know, Ray, I don't know if you have seen this. Of course, everybody's heard about it by now, I would hope. Holiday e-commerce sales.
Yes.
Up 29%.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, from $9.08 billion to $11.72 billion from last year to this year, mm-hmm. according to ComScore. Internet retailer Amazon.com led the year in sales race one day with a sales record of a sale every 24 seconds. I don't know about you, but I was one of the, of course, talking about December here.
Yeah.
I was one of those 24 second buyers.
Really?
Yeah.
Good. Made up your mind quickly, huh?
Well, after I made my mind up, I hit yes quickly.
Buy it now.
Amazon. No, it was a book. No, it wasn't eBay. It was Amazon.com. You're thinking eBay.
Okay.
You can't buy a car on Amazon. You can buy a book about cars, but not a car.
Okay.
But you want to buy a car? Go to eBay. Now we're the website show. We're plugging .coms. Can you believe it? This book, do I have time to mention this real quick?
Yeah.
Advertising the Business of Brands. This is our guest book that he wrote. It shows a copyright of 2001. Over here on the left, it says niche advertising, and it shows cable networks. It says trade journals and special interest magazines,
mm-hmm.
Adweek, Chain Store Age, PC Monthly, Modern Bride. What's missing from that list?
Something by age.
Ad Age.
Yeah, right.
Or Automotive News. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to ask old Bruce, why did Ad Week make it but not Ad Age? That may have been a placement pay.
You think
pay,
so?
Pay for placement.
You think so?
I doubt it.
No.
But he really missed that opportunity to plug Advertising Age. So if you're a student and you're going to buy this book, you can pencil in right in the front of that Advertising Age. And then you can go to adage.com. See, we're plugging the hell out of everything today. Do you want me to plug your company?
If you'd like, that's fine. No
well,
problem.
You don't pay me enough.
I don't pay you enough? That's fine.
Well.
No problem.
Yeah.
Well, we've got actually just about 20 seconds here before we break. We'll be back with Bruce in just a minute.
Well, when a client tells you that, they say, can't we fill that with another page of copy?
Probably so.
Yeah.
Let's make the logo bigger, okay?
Yeah, make
Here
my
comes
logo
the logo.
Bigger, yeah.
The Advertising Show.
What's that white space on my billboard? Can't we fill that up with something?
Sure. Let's get a cow up there or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So come back in just a minute and stay with us for the rest of the hour with our interview with Bruce Bettinger, Hour 2 on The Advertising Show. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Robert P. Soup Anderson, and here with me are the non-identical twins, Happy and Pee-wee.
Hiya,
soup fans
everywhere.
The gentlemen here are going to demonstrate how we split peas for our soup rather than crush them and lose the flavor.
Well, we talked off air about Bob and Ray a little while ago, too. That's a classic spot. Anderson's Pea Soup. I'm not sure that that's around anymore, but it was a great spot, that's for sure. We've got Bruce Bettinger, our special guest here on The Advertising Show, as we said before. No, we're not going to say it again. An award-winning copywriter in his early 20s, he became the youngest VP at Leo Burnett, creative director there. And since then, he has penned a bunch of great books, authored one of the most successful jingles in advertising, Popeye's Chicken with Dr. John and Fats Domino and Jerry Lee Lewis. I remember those. And let's see, he's also the co-author of the copy workshop workbook, the Bible for those who want to learn advertising and copywriting. If you don't have one, you ought to get one of those, too. Mm-hmm. So, back with Bruce. Thanks for being on the advertising show this weekend.
Hey, guys. Got a haircut just to be on the show.
Well, you're looking good.
Gee, where did you get that haircut?
Bruce Anderson Hair, 2569 North Clark Street.
Or call.
Is that in Chicago?
It's in Chicago.
Does he have a website?
I told him I had to look good for the show.
Does he have a website?
No, he does not.
Well, he's in the hair business. He doesn't need one.
Well, he could use a website.
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah. You know, Bruce.
You have to call for an appointment?
Just tell him the Air Show sent you.
Tell him Bruce sent you.
Yeah. You get 10% off, right?
Yeah, right now he's crediting his American Express. The let's talk a little bit about the ad business. Last hour we talked about Howard Gossage and the wonderful influences he had on the ad business. Let's bring it up to 2004. Is that where we are now, Ray?
Yes, it is.
U.S. ad spending is expected to grow, I believe I'm hearing, 6.9% to $266 billion. In 2004, and also increasing worldwide as well. Where do you feel the ad industry could use a little shoring up? Is the ad agency model today fair to both the client and the agency, or is it in need of some help?
No, the business model's busted. I'll tell you, when we went into the book business in the late 80s, because of desktop publishing, there was a whole industry called typography. Think back, guys. Remember,
sure,
there were type houses,
sure,
in the city and that city and the other, and now they're a grease spot on the pages of history.
Mm-hmm.
And business models change. And sometimes we're in the middle of it, and things are changing gradually. You're not as aware. And the advertising business model has just changed dramatically. Howard Gossage, the guy we talked about in the last hour, said that the commission system, which encouraged you to accept media rate increases, I make more money on my commission, was going to sow the seeds of destruction. And part of what has happened is that the entire media environment has become hugely less effective for advertising. So even if you did a single ad that was pretty cool, okay, nice ad, the cost of the media, the marketplace, which has gotten much more competitive, and the proliferation of messages is making it much more difficult for any of the ads, no matter how good, to work. And that's one of the things we're trying to do with our books, is teach people about a business that's kind of changing under their feet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once upon a time, if you're in front of a class talking to kids about how it's going to be 5-10 years out, you were telling the truth. When we were going to school, whatever the professor said was pretty close to what the world was going to be like 5 years from now.
Right.
Today, I don't know. I mean, you've got those big numbers that Cohn is generating for the ad biz. Maybe so. But if you go look at agency income, the shift to fees, and with a lot of traditional stuff not working, it's a big difference. I mean, I just heard that GM is giving away a car or two. How many cars?
Yeah,
you know,
a thousand.
Now, that's telling you something ain't working, because it is, I think, going to be a very powerful, effective thing. But it's also the act of a desperate man.
Well, you know, the squeeze that a lot of these clients are putting on their ad agencies to reduce fees and to scrutinize cost and so forth really works against an ad agency putting forth their best effort, especially when it relates to integration and looking at the multitude of media channels that are available to marketers today. And it just, you know, don't you think there needs to be a focus on getting the compensation structure changed and working more favorably?
Well, yeah, but again, it's part of the old business model deteriorating, because once upon a time, advertising was an investment that paid off. You spent X dollars in advertising, and you got back, you know, a multiple of that in increased sales. And part of what's going on, the real story in there, is that it ain't working.
Mm-hmm.
We just had here in Chicago the one of the top guns at Kraft. She wanted to grow the business. A smart marketer, has had a lot of success, and didn't do things unintelligently, put $200 million chip on the board, and a lot of it was for advertising and marketing, and she is now the former head of that company because it did not work.
Mm.
If advertising was working, we wouldn't be having these conversations.
Mm-hmm. I guess the struggle that I hear so much about is the fact that there are new channels and new opportunities, new marketing opportunities, but what's lagging is any kind of metric, a measurement as to whether it is effective or not, and that becomes a challenge, huh, Bruce?
Well, that's one way of saying it. The other way of looking at it is there is a metric, and the metric is it ain't working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you hear these speeches, you see these headlines, and everybody's saying we're not getting our message across. And I was in one meeting. I said, look, you guys say you're the best communicator in the world, and you're telling me you can't get your message across? Maybe you're not looking at the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing that's happened, which I I think is really good news, is that what was once a very narrow industry, advertising agencies, account executives, is now a very broad-based way of looking at the business. That a lot of the job of the account executive is now done with newer, more trained, more capable marketing directors. A marketing director 50 years ago was not a very bright guy.
Mm-hmm.
The agency guy was the guy carrying the load. Now, a lot of those guys, I mean, I watched Mike Miles leave Leo Burnett and go over to the client side. He ended up being chairman of Kraft General Foods. So that the advertising people, the advertising intellectual property is really much more of a general marketing thing, so that you have all these new channels, all these new marketing tools, event marketing, marketing public relations, online, all that. I mean, yeah, it ain't an ad agency, but in terms of what they're doing, how they're thinking, what they're getting paid for, it's really, you really got to look at the business as being a much larger sort of thing. That's why our little book, The Business of Brands, is really a much larger business than agencies. Agencies working off the old business model are in trouble, just like type houses were about 20 years ago. At the same time, people who do effective marketing services that deliver results have a very good business right now and will always have a good business because marketers want results. The reason agencies are having trouble is that the media environment in which advertising operates has really changed. And so it really doesn't matter how good you did on your ad. The fact is you're in a pod with too many messages. The fact is you're paying too much for too small an audience. And the fact is your competition is a lot smarter than they were 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And those things impact the results of your advertising, no matter how good a job you did.
We have about a minute left here. I guess the CEO, current CEO, well, we have exactly 1 minute.
Yes, we do.
Well, we'll say.
Hold up for just a minute.
Yeah, we'll say.
Okay? Yeah. Bruce Benninger is our special guest on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins along with Brad Forsyth. And we'll be back. Some good conversation, too. You know, talking about that GM giveaway thing.
Mm-hmm.
At least it was better than what they were doing last time around or a couple of years ago with the 000 garbage. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is the lowest common denominator. At least they're getting people actively in there to get a touchy-feely kind of experience. And I'm sure the GM dealers around the country are going nuts about this promotion, too, considering the fact that it's being supported by a national ad campaign. So it's kind of cool.
We are hearing rumors about the return of low interest rates.
Yes, really.
So, yeah, so we'll see if that happens.
Very good.
It's something that they've sucked the consumer into, you know, you only buy that way. You get the zero APR.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Going to stop for the Wacky World of Marketing and then come back and talk with more with Bruce Benninger here in just a minute on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
And now it's time for the Wacky World of Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our Wacky Update heads to Jordan. You know, sometimes you think you've got a big cold. Well, how about this? A Jordanian company has set a world record by making the biggest box of paper tissues. That according to the 2004 Guinness Book of World Records. The box, produced by local company Fine, measures 2.45 meters by 1.22 meters by 0.73 meters. It was listed by Guinness alongside the biggest sparkling wine bottle made in the Czech Republic and the biggest cigar, attributed unsurprisingly to Cuba. The prize box of tissues was manufactured to mark the 50th anniversary of the founding of the Nucle Group, which owns Fine. Now, my friends, is the Wacky World Marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Lots of women have taken up fishing these days, including me, Polly Bergen. But we don't have to angle for compliments on our figures, what with the trend toward lighter foods. And today's Pepsi-Cola goes along. Have a Pepsi, the light refreshment.
That's one of my favorite fishing partners, Polly Bergen. Did a lot of... Interesting spot, huh?
Bait this one.
What were they thinking about there? Yeah. On Bruce Benninger's bio here, it's got a caricature. And what? Hold this up. You can't see it on the radio. But doesn't it look like they put his head on top of Larry King?
Actually, I thought it looked a little bit more like Good Day.
Oh, yeah? Okay. You know, Bruce, don't you agree there?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm going to change the subject. Can we do a quick movie plug?
Well, okay,
my daughter's
sure.
movie, first daughter, will be out in March. Please go see it. Oh. She's a screenwriter and co-author.
And what's the title of that movie?
It's called First Daughter. It stars Katie Holmes of Dawson's Creek, I'm sure one of your favorite shows and mine.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a pretty good movie.
And is that by Paramount?
It's Warner, I think.
Warner?
Yeah.
Warner
and they're
Pictures.
Also working on a musical comedy version of her first movie, Bring It On, which, if you have any teenage daughters in the audience, they've seen once or twice.
Can Ray and I expect to get a DVD copy of that soon?
Autographed
DVD. Right. The Bring It On picture there looks like a Girls Gone Wild kind of stuff there. Is that what kind of a movie it is?
not at all. It's actually a pretty good message for young women.
Is that right? Really?
In most movies are the boy toy or right. woman in distress, and here there's some leadership messages and all that. So a pretty interesting movie. Actually, Ad Age did a feature on the marketing of that movie. It was number one for a couple of weeks.
So cool.
I'm a proud parent, as you might gather.
No, that's daughter Jessica, by the way.
Yeah, so I won't have any following of the Kutcher Moore.
So we plug the movies. What can we do to plug a book or two here?
Well, that cost a little extra, and we'll get into that in just a second. You know, before the segment, last
hour. Take your credit card number now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Before the end of the segment last hour, we were talking about the changing world of the ad industry, and I was wanting to ask you the question about just that, the CEOs and the chairmen, the heads of these major agencies. Phil Dusenberry, just retired chairman, BBDO, he came up through creative. Lee Clow, currently the CEO of TBW Shy Day Worldwide, came up through the creative end as well. The people that apparently had a great role to play 20, 10, 20, 30 years ago in the development of a client's advertising campaign become heads of ad agencies, and they don't replace themselves with the same type of individual that they were. And I think, you tell me, Bruce, but I think that inherently has been a lot of the problem in terms of how the agency.
Well, it's the marketplace of work. I mean, I think you just got to, you know, certain business models change. So, for example, when I was at Leo Burnett, there were a lot of guys out of Harvard B School and MBAs. We thought there were too many of them then in account work. They all took bigger checks on client side. So what you find is that there's been this huge shift on the account management side. Over to the client side, the guy he used to work with as a management soup at the agency is now some sort of executive director of marketing, a CMO on the client side. And so you find that but if you're creative, where the heck else are you going to go?
Of course.
So what you find now is that the real intellectual capacity is pretty much sitting on the creative side of the company, and you'll have very good companies that have quite a bit of trouble, quite frankly, in filling those management slots, and you do really need a couple good guys to keep it running. But the nature of account service has changed dramatically in that a lot of the people that used to go into account management at an agency because the client ad department and marketing department didn't pay, now they go there, pay scales are better, more control, more sophisticated marketing operations. And so, again, that's another thing within the industry that has really changed dramatically.
Well, I'll go back to talking about integration, and a lot talk about it. Hardly few can execute it properly. There seems to be in most big agencies today silos, the silo for creative, silo for account management, et cetera, and they don't necessarily work together as
well. And they broke off another silo called media because agencies are defined by how they make money.
Hmm.
I remember... a guy, an agency head at Ketchum in Pittsburgh, we were having a lunch, and he said, you know, in the agency business, you are what you eat. You know, how you make your money, the kind of clients that you have, that defines your organization. And that's very true.
Well, you know, I think...
I got to plug one more book. We've got a new book out called The New Account Manager, which is
music
to help small agencies develop their account staff because they do need trained people, and most agencies don't have time for training anymore.
Well, you know, Ray likes to put music underneath commercials. But
we probably should, and we'll do that in post.
I have something with French horns that I can send you.
Well, we have something with French, but it's not a horn.
Yeah.
Ironically, you're in a studio. you can add music there, Bruce.
That's true.
Right.
So with the media consolidation and agency consolidation, is this a good thing for what's happening out there in the world of advertising and media?
Well, if you take a larger view of marketing, and advertising really developed all the thinking of marketing. Really happened in the agency side of the business. Marketing is the business. Everybody says brands. Everybody thinks marketing. Everybody uses the intellectual property that was originally just at advertising agencies. So if you look at that thinking as being the business, that thinking is everywhere. That thinking is in your offices. That thinking is at your radio station. That thinking is at every radio station that this program goes at. This thinking is at Crane Communications. Everybody's thinking that way. It isn't something that's happening in this little specialized business called an advertising agency anymore. It's much more broad-based. It's our whole economy has become marketing has become much more important. Marketing has become the dominant business function. If you and I wanted to start a beer tomorrow, we could do it. The key thing is the marketing of that beer.
Hold that thought for just a minute, Bruce. We've got to take a break, and we'll be back with Bruce Benninger on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. Back for one more segment.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
Ella Fitzgerald. She's attempting to shatter a glass with her amplified voice. She did it. You are now hearing the Memorex cassette tape recording we just made of Ella. Now you'll see a glass shatter again. But is it Ella, or is it Memorex?
I'll never tell.
Thank you. Thank you, Ella. They did make good tape, though. You got to say that.
And, you know, there's a memorable spot that, you know, if you're over 40,
mm-hmm.
you see that spot in your mind's eye.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Standing right there by the piano.
So far this hour, we've plugged two movies and 12 books, and we're not done yet.
And a Partridge in a Pear Tree.
Something like that, yeah. Our special guest is Bruce Benninger out of Chicago. Bruce, thanks for being on The Advertising Show. We got just a little more time to spend with Bruce this hour.
Yeah, Bruce, we have a shorter segment than last hour, but let's go ahead and forge forward.
Should I say go to adbuzz.com right now so we can get that out of the way?
Might as well.
Let's do that.
That's true.
Okay, remind me.
This is going to be a scratch and sniff segment, by the way, so get your speaker covers off your radios, folks. C.J. Frawley, advertising chief of General Motors, last year gave a talk that really created a stir among the ad community. He mentioned in his speech that ad holding companies have become soft and flabby, and he said other things, including, as I recall, that a lot of agencies are not very creative today. We've heard over and over on the show, Bruce, that agencies and their clients are just not taking the kind of risk that used to be taken with creative executions and marketing and media selections, et cetera. Do you agree with that?
No, not really. I think, that, for example, an example I gave last time, you know, Betsy Holden at Kraft General Foods took a $200 million risk. I don't know about you, but I think $200 million is a pretty darn big risk.
Mm-hmm.
And she put $200 million on the board to grow the business with marketing and advertising. You know, she's pretty bright. And if you look at some of the work that's coming out of there on Tombstone Pizza and DiGiorno's and that, it's pretty bright work. And you know what? It didn't work. It did not work. And what people are saying one thing, but they're really saying something else. Yeah. You know, if somebody could show some sort of program that is working, that isn't yet another Budweiser commercial, leader brands are using advertising very well to protect their business. I think if you had Al Reese on the show, he's going to talk a lot about that topic, that advertising is something that protects the business you've got is a pretty efficient way to do it. But advertising to change behavior is, you're having a hard time demonstrating that happening. I know McDonald's cleaned up their stores and introduced salads, and they've just had a little business bump, and I'm glad they did. But in terms of really getting people to change existing behaviors, advertising is not proven to have be able to do it in today's media environment.
Well, let me give you a couple of examples of what I'm talking about.
Okay.
You mentioned Al Reese, by the way. We already had Laura Reese on the show, and she was a much better-looking example of a marketing guru.
Right, and I think there I was just with Al this summer, and that Fall of Advertising, Rise of PR book really makes some fairly interesting points. And Gossage, who we talked about earlier, demonstrated how PR can work. George Lois does the same thing.
You know, we asked Laura at the end of the interview, what would be the most surprising thing our audience could learn about you? And she said that I'm doing this interview without wearing pants.
No, she's in her underwear.
Well,
that's what it was.
I was trying to be more stretchy.
Good.
Anyway, I was talking about risk and the lack of risk today with a lot of advertisers, and you disagree with that. A couple of examples that come to mind is Thaler's work for Aflac and the Aflac campaign. Another campaign recently in the last 3 years that was launched that literally, in my opinion, changed the total image of a brand and made the product cool once again among the buying public is Deutsch's work for Mitsubishi. And in both cases, I think the campaigns are examples of risk-taking. If you could imagine the CEO of Aflac being told that we're going to feature a duck in a campaign, or Mitsubishi being told that we're going to have no voiceover, no connection verbally with the audience. We're going to just have kids in a car driving around with music playing and hip and cool music at that, and we are going to sell cars and change the image of your product as a result of that. For a CEO or a CMO to agree to take that kind of risk, I think looking back...
I think those were good business decisions. You had in Aflac,
you had a
straight-on name recognition campaign in a category that had very little competition. They were filling an empty hole in the marketplace, and that was what their business was. And in the case of automobiles, in which sheet metal is such a huge, huge part of the decision to put the sheet metal on the screen and to put and to do music that is evocative of the target market, and Deutsch did, I thought, first rate. I saw a presentation at a creative seminar we both at, first-rate consumer insight work and understanding how to get people to connect with this brand and the kind of people that would connect with the Mitsubishi brand.
We got to wrap it up here, Bruce.
Okay,
but,
so I think they just made smart decisions, and it was good being with you guys. Go visit us at adbuzz.com, and great being on the show.
You got it, Ted. Bruce, thanks for being with us here on the Advertising Show.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Susie Chapstick has changed her name.
Call me Susie Chapstick.
Hey, Susie Chapstick.
This is real Chapstick weather, so Chapstick is the only name for me.
Chapstick lip balm helps keep wind and cold away from your lips.
Well, it's that time of the year. Time for Susie and Chapstick. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Classic spot in the Advertising Show. Next week, it's the Super Bowl of Advertising. And we can say Super Bowl because that's the name of the book, okay?
Thank you.
Because either that, we'd have to say the big game of advertising.
Right.
Super Bowl of Advertising, Bernice Canner. And where's Bernice at?
What? New York.
Okay, so she'll be in New York, and we'll be here.
Yeah.
As we are always.
Right.
Doggone it.
Hey, you know, Media Life turned to its readers recently to have them rank the best and worst of 2003. I won't go through the entire list, but the top three, what was the really big TV story of the year? You could probably guess this.
What was it?
Well, unfortunately, it was the passing of actor John Ritter of ABC's Simple Rules. A couple other real quick ones. Reader's Choice for Media Bad Boy of 2003.
Mm-hmm.
The Hillbilly Heron spokesman, Mr. Rush Limbaugh.
Wow.
He's the OxyContin.
The Hillbilly Harold?
That's what they call OxyContin. No, the OxyContin, drug OxyContin that he was allegedly taking.
It's called Hillbilly Harold?
That's the slang for it. So if you're out looking for that, just say, hey, dude, got some Hillbilly heroin, and say hello to Jethro for me. The best new show of 2003, you could probably guess this one, Queer Eye.
Okay.
Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Right.
Worst show was ABC's Are You Hot? That was all through MediaLifeMagazine.com, which they have listed on their website. If you want to see a complete list, MediaLifeMagazine.com.
Britney Spears made news in 2003 and again in 2004.
Hi, this is Andy Borowitz for The Advertising Show. And now, here's this week's feature from The Borowitz Report.
Singing sensation Britney Spears was bar mitzvahed last week in what was described as a quickie bar mitzvah in Las Vegas. Representatives of Ms. Spears confirmed. The suddenly Jewish Pop-Tart was bar mitzvahed by the Rabbi Elvis Perlstein, a Rabbi Elvis impersonator who performed bar mitzvahs in an open all-night synagogue on the Las Vegas Strip. According to those who witnessed the four-minute ceremony, the saucy songstress passed up the traditional rituals and instead warbled an altered version of her hit song, I'm Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman. With Rabbi Perlstein looking on, the platinum-selling recording artist reportedly sang, I'm not a girl, not yet a woman, but today, I'm a man. While some fans expressed astonishment at the news of Miss Spears' bar mitzvah, others took it in stride, sending the pop star savings bonds in gold pen and pencil sets. But hours later, Miss Spears stunned the world once more by revealing that she had her bar mitzvah abruptly, like unbar mitzvahed. In explaining her decision, Miss Spears told reporters that she had only gotten bar mitzvahed as a way of one-upping rival Christina Aguilera, who had gotten a license to operate heavy farm machinery the night before in a quickie Vegas ceremony. Once I started getting all of those pen and pencil sets, I started feeling really guilty about the whole thing, Miss Spears said. On the question of her current religious status, Rabbi Perlstein said, the fact that Britney says she is feeling guilty means that she is still Jewish.
This is Andy Borowitz, and this has been a special edition of the Borowitz Report from The Advertising Show. To read more reports or to receive daily email alerts, log on to borowitzreport.com. This is Andy Borowitz saying, keep it fake, baby.
Well, you know, that could be real, though, actually.
True.
As well, the way news is these days.
No kidding.
Andy on The Advertising Show next week, Bernice Canner, the author of the Super Bowl of Advertising. Will that coincide with the Super Bowl? No.
We tried to get it
close.
It'll be a little bit earlier. Yeah, it was close. I think it's first of February.
Yeah, last weekend in Jan. Mm-hmm. So we've got Argentina banning ads on pay TV. So if you're in Argentina, what they're suggesting, this is Buenos Aires, due to viewer complaints, Argentina's broadcasting regulator is banning commercial breaks during movies on pay TV beginning April 1st. That's no joke.
Pay TV.
On pay TV, right.
Mm-hmm. Well, it makes sense.
Yeah.
If you're paying for it.
Makes sense for me, yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So they said they'll cut revenues by 30% to 40% for channels like Cinecanal. I don't know that one. Space and TNT. I know that one, too.
Well, TNT, we have commercials here for TNT.
That's what I'm saying. You know, you're talking about pay TV. You're talking about cable TV. So.
Maybe that first one you mentioned was kind of their version of HBO, and maybe they're complaining about that.
Very well.
You know, they're starting a new model, HBO and Showtime.
They are.
Where you can go into your cable and digitally request, I want to see this particular Showtime or HBO program, and they'll charge you for it as opposed to having to subscribe to the entire thing. You'll be seeing more of that.
Oh, really? That's a good idea.
I read
about that
and saw a spot for Showtime, but I first read about it pertaining to HBO. So if you have an HBO special that you want to see and you don't subscribe, you can say, I just want to buy that special.
I want to buy that one. That's a great idea.
Like the last episode of Sex and the City.
Right.
Which they're hyping the hell out of right now.
Which Bruce's daughter had a part in. That's another.
She did.
She wrote for that show, as a matter of fact.
Transmission of documents via telephone wires is possible in principle, but the apparatus required is so expensive, it will never become practical. That was Dennis Garber, author of Inventing the Future in 1962.
1962.
We don't even use the fax anymore, do we?
No.
Very rarely.
No.
So there you go.
We've got a fax, but it doesn't it doesn't resemble the original one.
And then some
sure.
people still use that curly paper that smudges.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't know they made that anymore, but I guess they do.
I guess.
Those machines are real cheap.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you're still running Christmas advertising, shame on you, because this past week I did see some.
I did, too.
I can't believe it.
I did, too.
Don't be so stupid. Thank
Change
you very much.
Your spots.
Yeah. And you know who you are.
Yeah.
Maybe they're still on vacation in Bermuda or something. Who knows?
I hope so.
Bernice Canner next week, author of The Super Bowl of Advertising, will be with us for The Advertising Show, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. This is a Big Radio Midget production.